Live's coming up for that Sunday, by the way. I don't know if can we announce it yet, Kay? Should we wait? Where's Kay? You announce it next week? I can't hardly wait. So it's going to be really good. So hallelujah. It's going to be, I guess I'll wait. So you're going to have to wait. Be back. You don't want to miss this next Sunday. It's going to be really great. So why don't you stand this morning and turn in your Bibles to Genesis 22 and verse 1. Everybody say all in. Genesis 22 and verse 1, we're talking about Abraham, we're talking about going all in with the Lord, amen? And that's what we want to do, praise God. Now, it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, Abraham, notice he changed his name from Abram, father, to Abraham, amen? Father of many nations. And he said, here I am. Wow. And he said, here I am. Come on, let's hold up your Bibles this morning. We say this at Discovery Church each week. Say it with Pastor. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess my mind is clear. My heart is open to receive God's word. And I will never be the same. Never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Find five people and say, hey, I'm all in. How about you? Praise the Lord. I got a couple little funnies I'm going to tell you this morning before we start and get all into the Word of God this morning. But I want to ask you something. Has anybody in here ever skydived? What? What? Man, why would you ever want to jump out of a perfectly good running aircraft? I've never figured that out, right? So I have a little story I want to share with you about a guy. It was his first time skydiving, right? So he had an instructor there, and he said, hey, the pilot's going to let you know when you're over the drop zone. And he said, just make sure you jump out of the back door of the plane. And then when you jump out, watch your altimeter. And altimeter tells you your altitude, right? And he says, when it's at 2,000 feet, he said, pull the red cord. And he said, if your parachute doesn't open, then pull the yellow cord. And he said, then and at the landing zone, he said, you'll see a green pickup, and that green pickup will be there to pick you up, right? So the guy said, all right. So he got up to the door, and sure enough, he jumped out, and he watched his altimeter. He got to 2,000 feet, and he pulled the red cord, and nothing happened. And then he pulled the yellow cord, and nothing happened. And he said, I bet you that green pickup won't be there either. Amen. He was real pessimistic, wasn't he? So let me tell you about a college student who was studying ornithology, which is ornithology is the study of birds, right? And he had a professor that was notorious for giving just really, really difficult tests at the end of the semester. And so this college student, he was just all stressed out about this, and he'd studied all year long for this test, and in fact, the night before, he stayed up all night studying for this test, right? And so he walks into the classroom, and he's thinking it's going to be a multiple choice or a true and false, you know, test or maybe an essay. And he walks in, he sits down, and the professor says, hey, welcome, students. It's a large, very large class. He said, welcome, students. He said, my test today, he said, if you look up on the board, he says, I've got 25 pictures of birds' feet. And I want you to give me the answer to what, you know, bird these feet belong to. And the guy just got flabbergasted. He's like, you got to be kidding me. He spoke up above the whole class. You've got to be kidding me. That is not fair. And he said, are you having a problem with my test? He said, yes, I am having a problem. I'm going to fail this class. He said, you know what? Listen, if you don't take this test, I will fail you, right? And the guy said, well, you're going to have to just fail me because I'm out of here. I'm going. He said, listen, sir, if you leave this class, I'm going to absolutely fail you right now. And the guy turned around. He said, well, go ahead. And the professor says, give me your name. And he looked down at his feet, and he rolled up his pants, and he said, you tell me your name, my name. All right? So, woo. So you tell me my name. That's really good. I love that one. So, you know what? When I was in college, I didn't mind the tests as long as they were fair. And when I was in high school, I didn't mind the tests because I didn't care. Right? So I barely made it through high school. It was really it was a trip, man. But God is faithful and he's good, right? But nobody really likes an unfair test. And a test is to prove what you really know. That should be the design of every test. It's to prove what you really know. And in the story of Abraham, we see God testing Abraham to prove what is really in Abraham. So God tested Abraham again and again. And what he was saying to Abraham, Abraham, do you really trust me? Do you really believe? Right? And are you willing to follow me? Abraham, are you willing to go all in? So think about this. Why did God not immediately give him a son? He could have immediately given him a son the very moment God showed up to Abraham. He could have given him a son right there, right? And he could have just automatically dropped him in the promised land. Why didn't he do this? Because God wasn't trying to get Abraham somewhere. Listen to me. God wasn't trying to get Abraham somewhere. He was trying to make him someone. There's really a difference. Amen. He wasn't trying to get him somewhere. He was trying to make him someone. What God is doing in you is actually more important than what God is doing through you. God is changing our minds. You know, every time we come into counter with the Word of God and we have an open heart, God all of a sudden begins to change our mind about things and gives us new revelation on things because God really wants to develop us and grow us, amen? And so we know in our soul realm that we're growing and that we're developing and that we're really changing in our mind and shifting in our mind. Why? So we can trust God even more. Can somebody say amen? So let me tell you what I'm trying to say here. God just doesn't want to take you to heaven. Amen. God wants to reveal heaven in you. Do you realize that in your spirit right now, you have everything that pertains to life and godliness? But it's getting it from your spirit into your soul, into the reality, so that you walk it out. But what God is really wanting to do is bring heaven to earth for you. He wants to give you days of heaven on earth right here. Turn to somebody, that's some good news, amen? In fact, you don't have to die to start enjoying eternal life. Eternal life actually begins the moment you believe. That's when eternal life begins. And here we find Abraham, he's in this time of proving. And it's just an amazing, amazing story in Genesis 22. And we see Abraham entering this another test that God has for him. So let's go back to Genesis 22 and verse 1, and let's read this a little bit. And now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him. Now, if you have the King James, it says God tempted him. That's a terrible rendition. A terrible translation. God tempts no one. Do you know it is impossible for God to tempt anyone? Come on, somebody. Amen. God doesn't tempt us, but what the real rendering here is God tested or God proved him. God proves us. Amen. And we're going to tell you what God proves us in just a moment. But here, you know, Abraham had been through all these tests. And some of them weren't too pleasant, by the way. And so here, Abraham, we get down here to this 22nd chapter, and he said, hey, I'm here to prove you again, Abraham. And look what Abraham says. Abraham says, here am I, or here I am. You know what he's saying right there? He's saying, God, I'm ready, and God, I trust you. God, I'm getting ready to jump all in again with you. Amen. That's where God wants us to be. God doesn't want us just on the fringe, but God wants us all in. And what he was saying to Abraham is, hey, I'm getting ready to prove you again here, Abraham. But what he was really saying, listen to me, I'm getting ready to prove myself faithful to you again. Wow. How many of you can look back over your life and realize that God's been so faithful to you. Is anybody in this place? Amen. You know what? Even when you haven't been faithful to him, it's amazing. God shows up and he's always on time and he's always faithful to us. And what God was really saying to Abraham here is, hey, I'm going to prove myself again here that I am faithful to you. And Abraham, because of that, he knew that, and he looked back each time in his life when he was up against the wall. He knew that God always came through. Now, you might be up against the wall this morning, but I want to declare to you that God's going to come through for you. I'm saying God's going to come through for you. Let me say that again. God's going to prove himself faithful to you again. Amen. Time and time again. You know why? Because it's not about our covenant with him, but it's about his covenant with us. And you know what it is really about? It's about Jesus being in you, and God is always faithful to Jesus. Turn to somebody and say, he's going to see you through. Turn to somebody and say, you're going to make it, soldier. Amen. So here's Abraham, and he's standing here again, and he says, here I am. And really, he's saying, I'm all in, God. I'm ready. Praise the Lord. Let's look at the next verse. This is such a great story. Then he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac. Take now your son, your only son, Isaac. Wow. Whom you love. And go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you or show you. So I want you to, if you got your Bible, I want you to just circle Moriah there for just a moment. Amen. And I want to talk a little bit about this because this is really interesting. If you open this up in the Hebrew and you look at this verse in the Hebrew, it is really interesting because it's almost like you're reading in slow motion. It's like it really, 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 really slows down. So here's what the Lord said. He said, take now your son. Well, how many sons did Abram have by this time? Does anybody know? Did he have one or two? He had two sons. One by the flesh, right? Ishmael. And he had the son by the spirit, Isaac, right? So he said, take now your son. And Abraham's probably thinking in the back of his mind, oh, hey, it's Ishmael over here, right? Take now your son. Then all of a sudden, he said, your only son. God didn't even see Ishmael as his son. He said, take now your only son. I want you to circle only son. Take now your only son, Isaac. Take now your only son, Isaac, whom what? Whom you love. Wow. Abraham, this is slowing down. He says, take your son. Pause. Long pause in the Hebrew. Your only son. Long pause in the Hebrew. Isaac. Long pause. Whom you love. Long pause. And go to the land of Moriah. Go to the land of Moriah. You know, God isn't proving us to test to see if we can fail. He's proving us to show how good and how faithful he's going to see and provide for us. When God puts you through something, has anybody ever been through something besides Pastor? Come on, anybody in this place, anybody can identify, anybody ever been through something? I can raise both hands, both feet, right? Amen. I've been through some things, but I want to tell you, when I was going through it, God was always proving himself faithful to me, amen? And I always knew that God's going to get me through this because that's the only hope I had, amen? And I want to declare to you this morning, you might be going through some things in life right now in this season, but it's just a season, amen? There's a great scripture that says, it shall come to pass. You're going to make it through it, amen? You're going to go through the fire and through the flood, not just because of your strength or your goodness or your ability, but because of God proving himself faithful to you over and over and over again, you're going to make it. Can we give God some praise this morning? Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Now, what is so interesting, because Moriah is actually where Jerusalem is today. That is where Moriah is. In fact, if you stand on the Mount of Olives, and I'd love to take you all to Israel sometime, let's go. Amen? Praise God. Let's go to Israel, and let's stand on the Mount of Olives, and let's look over to the old city, and you'll see Jerusalem there. And this is where he was saying, he said, take your son, your only son, the son whom you love, to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. What is amazing about this is scholars believe, and Hebrew scholars believe, that that mountain that he's referring to is the very place that the Son of God was crucified. What a picture this is of God and his Son being delivered up for our sacrifice and for us. Amen. There's an old song that I know Cake is singing, but we used to sing it a lot, and it's a great song. It says, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." Anybody remember that song? "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to know, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord." Anybody remember that? Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. How I proved him over and over and over again. Amen. So many times when we're going through it, we put the focus on us. Amen. Instead of refocusing on him. Hebrews tells us, looking unto Jesus, I think Holly quoted this morning or referred to it, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. I'm going to tell you, the difference between a life of drudgery and a life of joy is, do you trust Jesus? That makes all the difference in the world. If you trust Jesus, you know you're going to have a good outcome. Amen? You know that you're going to have a great outcome if you trust Jesus. Amen? So it is amazing here in this beautiful picture that here is a picture of the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Here's that type and shadow of Jesus Christ going to Calvary for you and for me and for all of our sins, and the sins of the whole world was laid upon him. The Bible says in Isaiah that he was marred like no man was ever marred, not only because of the sins of the world, but because of every disease and sickness known to mankind, it was laid upon him. And here's that picture, and here he is, and he's saying, hey, take your son, the only son. Let me ask you something this morning. Let's drop down. Drop down to the next verse. Drop down to the next verse. Amen. Verse 3. Listen to this. So Abraham arose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took his two young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood and for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place which God told him. Next verse. Amen. Then on the third day. Does that sound familiar to anybody, any Bible scholar here? Any Bible know what the third day? This is the very first mention in the Bible of the third day. The third day was what happened on the third day. What did Jesus do on the third day? He rose from the dead, right? Here's the first mention of this. This is a perfect picture of what God has done for us. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. Now really, the journey wasn't that far, but Abraham took the long way around. Amen. He was taking his time getting there to Moriah, the land of Moriah, Jerusalem. He was really taking his time. You know, when we're up against things at times, it seems like, man, we really take our time, right? And there he was on the third day. He lifted up his eyes and he saw this place, right? Look at the next verse. Let's go on down. Amen. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship. He said, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship. And look at this powerful faith statement. And we will come back to you. Abraham knew how faithful God was. There was no previous resurrection. And here Abraham says, listen, you stay here, guys, but me and my boy, we're coming back here because I've got a promise from God. Amen. I know that if I kill him, God's going to raise him back up. Amen. I trust God that much. I'm all in with God that much that if I kill him and slay him, God is faithful enough to raise him back up. Woo, that is some trust, amen, amen. Abraham had to be all in at this point because he knew the faithfulness of God. Turn to somebody and say, God is a good, good God. Here's a picture of the goodness of God, and Abraham trusted so much of the goodness of God. Even when Abraham blew it, he lied about his wife being his sister a couple times. I mean, he was kind of a scoundrel in some ways, but he knew that God was faithful, not because of the covenant he had with God, but because of the covenant God had with him. Oh, come on, somebody. Amen. Over in Genesis 15, remember that? We won't go there, but in Genesis 15, God cut this covenant with Abraham. God came down and walked in the blood of the sacrifices that were made. He walked in the middle of that, and he didn't require Abraham to walk in it. God walked in it because he said, hey, the covenant is not with you, Abraham. The covenant is with me. Amen. And I'm not going to break my covenant. You know, God is not going to break his promise towards you. Whatever you have in your heart, whatever you're believing for this morning, I believe God's already got it. It's already a done deal. He is not going to break his promise with you because he's that good of a father and he is true to his covenant. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's go on down to the next verse. Amen. Praise the Lord. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. Now, you got to understand something about Isaac. Most Bible scholars believe Isaac was about 15 years old, right? And he could have easily taken Abraham at 115. I mean, and it's kind of funny because Isaac means laughter. It's a funny story when you think about it, a 100-year-old guy and a 9-year-old woman having this kid. And the 100-year-old guy, he's about to be in diapers, and the kid's in diapers. Think about that, right? Okay. So Abraham, here he is. He took the wood of the burnt offering. He laid it on Isaac, his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. Now, you know, 15-year-old boys kind of knowing what's going on, right? Look at the next verse. Amen. Look at this. So Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, hey, Dad. Notice the exclamation point. My father, right? And he said, I love this. Here I am, my son. Then he said, look the fire. Evidently, he'd seen this happen before, right? Look the fire and the wood. But where's the lamb for a burnt offering? Now, listen to me. Isaac could have easily ran, probably could have outran Abraham. He knew, he had a little insight. Hey, something's going on here, right? But Abraham, I believe, instilled the faith and the faithfulness of God in his son. Son, trust God. Amen? All along, I believe Abraham was instilling into his son the very faithfulness of God. Hey, Father, I'm going to tell you, you've got a great responsibility. You got a son, you've got a daughter. It's your responsibility there to instill in them the faithfulness of a good God. Amen. Because when they go through things in life and they are a teenager, they really need to know that God's a good God and he's going to get me through this. In fact, they need to know their identity. They don't have to find their identity. Their identity is already found in Jesus Christ. And what you need to do is just convey that identity to them. Can somebody say amen? You know, this world would be a lot better if we as parents, amen, and Holly and I really tried to do our best, is convey the identity of Christ in our kids. I want to know about you, but I want us raising grace kids, amen? My grandkids, I want them to be grace kids, amen? And I want them to know their identity of Jesus Christ in them, amen? So he said, hey, you know, Lord, hey, where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Next verse, look at this. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. He didn't fight about it. He didn't fuss about it. He trusted God along with his dad, although he knew it was going to be his life. That is amazing when you think about that, church. Amen. So, and the whole time, you know, I believe Abraham wasn't saying, hey, I can do this. I believe he was saying, God is faithful. God is going to do it. God is going to do it. Why? Because he said God will provide for himself a lamb. Let's go to the next verse. Amen. Praise the Lord. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed wood in order. Wow. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Next verse. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. It was about to happen. It was about to get real nasty all up in there, right? Next verse. I love this. But the angel of the Lord, in the midst of him with that knife, called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, father of many nations, father of many nations. And he said, what? Here I am. I'm all in. Next verse. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do any. Now you got to think of it. This is all the promise that Abraham and Sarah had was in this boy. All the promise. And that's why God said, the son you really love. Everything he promised. I want to ask you something. Have you been to the point where God asked you for something? And you'll say, you're kind of like, ha, 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 yeah, Lord. So it's like you're in service, and pastor gets up and he says, hey, we're going to take an offering this morning, and God says to you, hey, give $1,000, and you say, now, Lord, if that's really true, have Bob Curry stand on his head right now. Oh, yeah, okay, Lord, well, I guess that's not you, right, Lord? Have you ever been to the point where God's saying, go all in? Have you ever been to the point, say, hey, just go all in with me, trust me. Trust me with everything you got. Amen. I want to tell you, everything I have belongs to God. Amen. I believe most of you in this place, everything you have belongs to God. And if God says, hey, I want you to give it up, you'd say, here, God, I give it up. Amen. And so the place that God called there was, the Lord will provide. He says, do not lay hand on your son. Do anything to harm him, for I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Next verse. Amen. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. There behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. Everybody say horns. Come on, say it with me, horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. Amen. Next verse. Praise the Lord. And Abraham called the name of the place, what? The Lord will what? Not Abraham will provide. Who will provide? The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord. In the mount of the Lord is Jerusalem. It is where God provided the lamb that took away the sins of the world. And it is to this day that Jesus Christ has been provided for us. Amen. Not of what we've done or what we can do, but everything that God's done for us in Jesus Christ. Amen. The story is not about God, about, you know, Abraham's commitment to God, but it's about God's commitment to Abraham. Amen. God is committed to you today to see you through, to make you successful in everything you put your hand to, not because of your effort, but because of Jesus in you. That's who he's committed to. Amen. Come on, give God some praise. Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 1:19 through 20. Look at this. 2 Corinthians 1:19 through 20. Let me give you this morning. Amen. 2 Corinthians 1:19 through 20. Praise the Lord. God, you are so faithful to us. Amen. Hallelujah. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no. Turn to somebody and say, God was all in. Oh, come on, you can do better than that. Turn to somebody and say, God was all in. He was all in for you. It wasn't, well, maybe I will. I don't think they're good enough. Oh, they're lousy. Oh, they made too many mistakes. No, no, no. He said, the Jesus we preached is not yes or no, but in him was just yes. Jesus went all in for us. Amen. Look at the next verse, and I love this. For all the promises, not some, not one or two, not three or four, all the promises of God in him are not maybe, not well, I sure hope so. Boy, I hear a lot of Christians live there. Oh, God, I sure hope so. God, I really hope so. Come down through this crack, bless this food, and go right back. Right? God, I really hope so, Lord. God didn't want you living in the hope so any longer. God wants you living in the no so. It's already a finished work. It's already done. Amen? It's already prepared for us. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him we add the amen to it. And the amen means so be it in my life to the glory of God through us. God wants the promises manifested through us because God is much more committed to you at times than you are ever committed to him. He is a faithful, faithful God. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, we're going all in. Hallelujah. We're going to put up the mission statement and vision statement this morning again. I want to go over this one more time with you today. We may go over it a couple more times, but I want you to know what we're all about and why we're going all in, and what we're doing and what we're believing God for. We're believing God that through us at this place, we're going to touch a world. We're going to change a world. Amen? Praise God. You're a world changer this morning, and God wants you to be all in. Can you find those there, Aaron, and put them up for us? All right, vision statement, to teach people of all ages to live successful Christian lives through the power of God's grace and love. Turn to somebody and say, it's not about you. It's about Jesus in you. Amen. You've got to stop trying to live it and let Jesus live it through you. Amen. You'll never be successful in life as a Christian if you keep trying to live it. You've got to let Jesus live it in you. That's why Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. It wasn't about Paul. It was about Christ in him. The mission statement is we exist to help people of all ages discover God. We want people to find God. Amen. We want them to discover true freedom in Jesus Christ, discover their purpose, and make a global grace impact on all nations. Wow, we are a church for all people. Amen. And our core values is we believe discovering God's grace and unconditional love changes everything. How many can say amen to that? Amen. Hallelujah. We believe found people find people. If you know Christ this morning, we believe you find somebody else to share this good news with. Praise God. We had a lady come up yesterday, and she found us on the ad of Facebook, and she came in. But not only did she come in, she brought some others with her. She says, I want you to come and listen to this good news. We believe found people find people. Put up the next one. We are driven by purpose, not by programs, personalities, buildings, or budgets. Right? Amen. Next one. We keep it real and fight against fake. Turn to somebody and say, no fakers here. We live and meet with authenticity of grace. Amen. Next verse. We believe we're the perfect place for imperfect people. So now you can turn to somebody and say, that's why you're here. Come on. Amen. Praise God. We believe everybody belongs. We care about the heart, not the skin, the clothes, or the body art. Come on, somebody. Amen. Besides that, the Bible says you are the tattoo in the palm of God's hand. We believe life is better together in small groups. And we're going to be launching some things and telling you some things coming up next month about our small groups. There's going to be some awesome things going on. We discover our gifts and grow from consumers into contributors. We want you to be in the ministry here at Discovery Church. There's a place for you to be all in. Amen. Next verse, I almost said. Next one, amen. We grow larger and smaller at the same time. We gather together and scatter together. Small groups again, amen. Next verse, next verse. We plant churches. I love this. We plant churches. Thank you for that enthusiasm. We plant churches. Come on, somebody. We plant churches. Grace churches. We partner with global community ministries around the world. Andrew Womack, Ashley Terades, all these ministers we have in, we partner with them. The Hope Center, Guatemala, amen. We plant churches, partner with the global community. Go to the ends of the earth for Jesus Christ. Let's stand this morning, amen. Praise God, hallelujah. He is a good God this morning, amen. Would you just bow your head just a moment? And I'd like for Crystal to come up here this morning. And Cosamine, if you'll come up today. And praise God, Faith, if you'll come up today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Bob, would you come up and line up here this morning? Amen. Hey, Aaron, would you be so kind to come up here and help us pray today? Praise the Lord. Amen. You guys scoot on down together here. Praise God is a good father, isn't he? Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. You know, God doesn't want you holding back today. God wants you all in with him. Amen. He loves you so very much. He sent Jesus, died for you. But there may be some areas of your mind that aren't totally renewed this morning. Maybe you're just saying, you know, I'm struggling in an area and I just, Pastor, I really need to renew my mind in this area. Listen, Kay said earlier, we don't shame anybody at this church. We love everyone. Amen. So it's no shame if you need prayer for something today. Or maybe you're here this morning and you need healing today and you're saying, you know, I came this morning and I'm believing God, amen, that he is my healer and I'm trusting him this morning for my healing today. If that's one of two of you, I want you to raise your hand right where you are and just raise your hand and say, that's me, Pastor. Amen. I'm believing God this morning. Anybody in here? Come on. I believe God this morning. Anybody else? Amen. I believe God. I'm believing God for my healing. Amen. Maybe you want to accept Christ today. Raise your hand and say, I'm the one today that I want to receive the Lord. Amen. God loves you this morning. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. If you need prayer this morning for anything, I just want you to slip out of your seat quickly. Just come down here for a few minutes, and they want to agree with you, and they want to pray with you. Anyone this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let me pray for you. Prayer partners, stretch your hand across the congregation today. Father, thank you this morning for each one that is here. Thank you, Lord. We're going all in with you, Lord. Thank you, God. You renew our minds. You heal our bodies. You give us strength today. We love you, and you're faithful in all areas of our life today. Lord, we give you the glory. We give you the honor. We give you the praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Would you say out of your mouth this morning, say, thank you, Jesus. Come on, say it, Pastor. Thank you, Jesus. I'm all in with you. Thank you, Lord. You're my covenant today. You're my strength, and you're my shield. Lord, I praise you this morning. I am the healed of the Lord. I am walking in your love and in your grace. I receive that today in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to me today. In Jesus' mighty name. Turn to five people this morning and say, God is a good, good God. Would you do that? Let's give him some praise. Amen.